Psalms chapter 37, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, because those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." And I've titled this message this morning, "Worry Won't Fix It." Worry won't fix it. Worry won't fix anything. Worry won't fix it. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you once again, Lord, for your word and how you preserved it all these years, God. I thank you, God, for how you speak to hearts. God, I thank you for your word. And God, I pray that this morning, Father, that you would meet with us in a special way. I pray that your presence would be felt upon this service, God. Lord, I pray that you would clear out my heart and my mind, God, of anything that would be of me. God, these dear people, your people, God, have come to hear from heaven. And God, I pray that that's what they'd hear from today. God, I pray that each and every person that is in here this morning, God, would hear and receive the things that you have for them, God, that they may take it, use it, apply it in their lives in a way, God, that we would bring you praise, honor, and glory. God, if there be somebody here in this building today, God, that's not truly born again, that's not saved, God, I pray and I plead with you, God, to get a hold of their heart, that today would be that day that they call upon you and get that settled. God, we thank you and praise you for all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. It's very easy for us to get so caught up in everything that's going on around us, and we can, if we allow it, we begin to fret, we begin to worry about things and get concerned about what's taking place. But it's also very exciting if you've been in your Bible at any time or any little bit of time when you see the events that are taking place in our country. And I'm still proud to be an American. I'm glad that I wasn't born anywhere but America. And I still think it's the greatest nation that ever was or ever will be. And I'm thankful for it. I believe that God gave us America. And contrary to what they want to say today is that those forefathers came here to make money. They didn't come here to make money. They came here so they could freely practice Christianity. And that's what this country is established upon. And if you read in our Constitution and our Bill of Rights, you cannot. It is undeniable that our country was founded on biblical truth. And it was. And when you look around us and you see and everything that's going on in our nation and around the world, and you think about it, you can get very full of care and very concerned, and you can begin to worry about what's the future for our children and maybe your grandchildren, those things. But let me remind you that seated at the right hand of the Father is still our Savior Jesus Christ, and all these things are taking place. He knew what was going to take place in 2020. He knew what was going to take place in 2021. It's all in his control, and he still has those things under his shadow of his wing. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You know, those words that we're reading about here as a fret and worry. And the fret, the definition of fret is an agitation of the mind, a commotion of the temper, and it's irritation, it's anxious. Words associated with that word is worry, anxiety, stress, full of care, nervous, turmoil. Anxiety is a concern respecting some some event future, or it's uncertainty which disturbs the mind and keeps it in painful uneasiness. It usually springs up from fear or serious apprehension of evil. Worry is to trouble, to harass with importunity or with care and anxious. That word importunity is a pressing solicitation, a urgent request. If you're here and you're a mother, you understand that urgent request, that solicitation, that importunity. You've all heard it. Mom, 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 over and over. And that's what will happen to us if we're not careful, that we're allowed the things that go on around us in the world and just things that take place and trials and tribulations that come into our life. If we're not careful, we're allow them to be that pressing solicitation to our mind. And if we're not careful, it will be all that we concern and care about. It will be what our focus is on. And I said this in Sunday school, and it'll be the same thing here. What you emphasize on is what you will normally produce. It will normally be what you get. And if what you emphasize on is all you talk about is the cares and the concerns about this world. Now, I was on Facebook for a while. I still have an account, but I quit watching it because I started to get so concerned about everything that's going on. But Jesus is still on the throne. This is all under His control. The exciting thing about it is we're at the very brink of the trumpet being sound when we're going to rise to meet with Him in the air, and we're going to leave all this behind us. And then we can focus, as John said, about the new heaven and the new earth. But if you think about it, the things that we go through in our life, we get so concerned and we get so worried about them, and we allow it to control our mind. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more value than the sparrows. Well, I don't know about you, but if God is keeping track of the sparrows, He surely is keeping track of His children. And if you're here today and you're born again, blood-bought child of God, what are we worrying about? It's all in our Savior's hands. He's taking care of all those things. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind. When we live our lives and we carry on and conduct ourselves on a daily basis, what does the world see? Do they see a child of God? Do they see you handling situations in a way that it's a different than the way the world handles it? Listen, just a little over a year ago when they started the pandemic, you saw people that were scared to death. Scared to death. And when I started, Brother Young, seeing Christians scared to death, I started to question their salvation. I mean, where are you going to go? We're all going to die one day. If the Lord tarries, we will all experience that death. We will all do that. The good thing about that is that day when we experience that death, we're going to rise to be with Him. That's a wonderful thing. Now, I'm not asking to die today, but it could happen. And if it does, I try to live myself on a daily basis to realize that I have a short time here. And the way that I impact people with the way that I conduct my life and I handle the way that I deal with situations will carry on for eternity as of my legacy. But what I do with that time period that God's here as the way we influence others, that is for eternity. The people that we lead to Christ, the people that see a difference in the way that we act, or through those actions can draw them to that light, to draw them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and that can make a difference in our lives, in their lives. We need to get to this place in our lives where we're not so weighted down with the worry and the concerns of this world. And I believe that as we look into this portion of Scripture, God gives us a formula that can help us to deal with that worry and that fret and that anxiety. And I've never seen, it's amazing the people that have to take prescription drugs to deal with things when we got 66 books of the Bible that deal with that. And if you're here and you're on some medication, I'm not condoning what you do. I'm just saying that we can really suppress a lot of that by just getting in God's Word and realizing that He is still on the throne, and we can get to those places. I want to share with you a few things this morning, and I'll get through this quickly, and then we can go to the house. In Psalms chapter 37, verse 3, the Bible says this. He says, four words, trust in the Lord. Number one, the first thing that we need to do to deal with our worry is that we need to trust God. Listen, when we walk around and we're in this panic and we're in this worry and we're so concerned and loaded down with the cares of the world, are we really living in a way where we show that we trust God? I mean, think about the great thing about the Bible. Now, see, I got saved at 32 years old. I got saved later in life. And I lived for 32 years of my life that I felt like I could control every situation. And about a year before I got saved, Brother Morris, I had a man say, do you understand, Rex, that you only control about 10% of what happens? The rest, 90%, that the remaining 90% is just life. You can't do anything about it but live through it. And that's the 10% that you control. Well, guess what? That 90%, God is in control. That 100%, God is in control. But we make decisions and we choose to do those things. But the greatest thing after I got saved was that I realized that God had a plan for my life. I just need to live it out. And whatever those circumstances were, we need to get to a place in our lives where we truly trust God. Let me ask you something. As we read down through the stories of the Bible, when we read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were getting ready to go into that burning fiery furnace, they said, O king, we are not careful to answer thee. They said, you know what? We're not worried about how we're going to answer thee. Everybody else said, O king, live forever. They showed reverence to the king. And these three men said, you know what? We're not going to be careful the way... You know what that showed me, Brother Young, was they trusted God, and they showed that in that story of the Bible. They trusted God that even if they went to that fire, even if they went there and died, that they were still in God's control. Do we trust God to that level? I mean, really, let's think about how we trust God. In Psalms chapter 73, verse 28, it says, but it's good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. Here's the thing. As we live our lives, we need to make sure that we're close enough to the Savior that we understand that we can trust Him and that He's guiding our lives. And listen, if you're not living close to God and things are coming into your life, I would be a little worried. But when you're living for God, do you understand that no matter what happens, no matter what comes in your life, God's in control? In Romans, it says that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. If we understand that, we believe the Bible, we trust the Bible, we're living close to God, we're walking in fellowship with God, you know, God leans over there and says, just trust me, it's all going to work out. You know, a little bit about our testimony. We had moved to Brighton, Illinois about 2 years ago, and we went there to work with some youth. And literally, the entire time we were there, God taught us to trust Him. The entire time. It was a work in progress. It really was. It was for me. I know that. But when God closed the doors from keeping us there, I struggled. But I had to realize there was a reason why God closed those doors. I had to trust Him. And I've always been very independent. And sometimes if you're here today and you're very independent, sometimes it's hard to let go of the reins.
Yes, sir.
Ask my wife. I don't let her drive very often. Amen. I'm a control freak. I like the brakes on my car too, but she's really not a bad driver. But for some reason, Brother Young, she says I make her nervous when I let her drive. I don't know why that is, but do we trust them? Sounds like some of you. I'm getting into some of them little rooms this morning. I'm glad that you men are getting on board. See, when the preacher says those things, that's when you got to amen it. It's giving those opportunities. In Psalms 118:8, it is better to trust in the Lord than put our confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than put our confidence in princes. We've learned that over the last year. And some of you are learning it today. Because we don't have much of a president. Not that the president controls everything, but guess what? I think a lot of Christians were putting too much trust in Trump and not enough. Listen, you could ask my wife, 4 years, 5 years ago when Trump got elected, I said, God just gave us 4 years. I'm curious to see what Christians are going to do, whether we're going to sit on our hands and go cruise control, or we're going to realize and get busy. And I think a lot of us got really lackadaisy in our Christian service. And you know what? You know what you see now? You see people at the altars. You see people praying for our country again. You see people that are eager to tell people about lost and dying souls. We need to get back to a place where as Christians, we set the example in trusting in God. When that trial and that tribulation, when that thing comes into your life, do live in such a way that people see that you're trusting that you are in the Almighty God's hands. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Now on Friday I struggle with this because I normally always pray in the morning and say, God, lead and guide and direct my path. And on Friday I told it in Sunday school. I left. And I was going to take a shortcut coming back from Marshall back towards our house. And I got behind a parade of antique tractors. And I could not pass them. And I questioned that direction of my path. But God always has a plan. And we need to get to this place where we understand that we need to acknowledge God and all the decisions that we make in our life. And as we submit ourselves to God and we're close to God and we're walking with God, And it allows us to get to this place that we trust him. And no matter what is taking place, we understand that God had a purpose for it. And that if we keep the right attitude and the right perspective about things and try to make the best out of it and realize, you know what, God, this is all in your control. You had a plan for this and I just need to trust you. In Proverbs 29, verse 25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. Do you understand? These are the very promises of God for us as Christians to claim and to take them and to make them our own. Not just make them a generalized Bible, but to take and make these promises that God. Listen, the only promise of the Bible is not for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All through the Bible is accounts that God has given us his promises, and God cannot break his promises. We're a blood-bought child of God. We ought to trust God. So many times I believe that we live as a double-minded man. We come to church, we live one way, but then we go out into the world and we live like the rest of the world and we don't trust him. Secondly, in Psalms chapter 37, verse 3, trust in the Lord, next three words, and do good. And so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. When we get our eyes focused on ourselves, we begin to worry and we begin to fret. And not only do we not trust in the Lord, but we get away from doing what God has left us here to do. And that's to do good. God left us behind. God God saved us and left us here to do the will of the Father and to do those good things and to continue to trust Him and to move forward with those things. And what we see so often in Christians' lives is when a trial comes into their life, a financial situation comes into their life, first thing they do is quit tithing. First thing they do is quit church service. First thing they do is they quit going soul winning on Tuesday. Listen, if you're going through a financial struggle, the last thing that you want to do is quit on God. Amen. You know, this happens. I've seen this happen so often is somebody will lose a job. And Brother Young, you know, on Wednesday nights, every Wednesday night, just pray for Brother so-and-so to get a job. Pray for him to get a job. Pray for him. And prior to this, he's faithful to soul winning. He's faithful to bus ministry. He's faithful to church services, faithful to revival. Next thing you know, job comes. Here it is. Oh, it's God's will, but it keeps him out of church on Wednesday night, keeps him from doing bus visitation. Did you ever think that that wasn't you trusting on God to pass on that opportunity, that God actually had something for you that would allow you? Listen, God's not going to contradict His Word. He's not going to tell us in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. Well, that day is approaching, and that means that we ought to be in church more, not less. And we get to this place where we quit trusting God, and because we quit trusting God, it allows us to quit doing the good things that we were doing for God. We need to continue to do those things, even through the trials. In Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we therefore have opportunity, and folks, we have the opportunity today. Today's the day that the Lord has given us. We're not promised tomorrow, we're promised today. And today's that day, and we have that opportunity. It says, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith. We need to trust God and do good while we have that opportunity. You know, David said this, is there not a cause? When he stood there, and if you think about the great men that we read about in the Bible, and I think about Paul and how much of the New Testament he wrote from being in prison. He was going through a great trial, but he didn't stop. He kept going. He kept doing good. You think all through the Bible, think about David. Think about there when Saul was chasing him. David continued to do good. When David had the opportunity to do bad, David still did good. And when we look at our lives and we look at the things that come into our lives, listen, folks, it's not the time because people don't want to hear it. It's not the time to quit doing those things and those ministries that we know we need to. James chapter 1, verse 27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. You know, I've just recently was counseling with a guy, and he was going through a situation. We knew him from a prior church, and it's a terrible shame that's what's happened to his family. Of a turn of events, they got themselves out of church. They got themselves out of church, and to make a long story short, within 4 months, he ended up in prison for 75 days. His family now, he has not talked to his wife or his children in over a year. Yesterday was 1 year since he talked to or saw his children or talked with his children. It started by the pandemic, them not being allowed to go to church. Church closed down. They couldn't go to church. And then they decided not to go back to church. But when this man reached out to me and I began to talk with him and I began to do that, I started to tell him, you need to quit focusing in on what you don't have, and you need to rejoice in what you do have. And you need to continue to do what is right. You need to be faithful to church. You need to keep tithing. You need to start soul winning. You need to do good. And when you start to do good, I said, listen, there's people in our church that are going through trials or going through tribulations. Hey, there's widow women that could use their lawn mowed. There's people that need help. Hey, to visit the fatherless, some of that could be bus ministry stuff. Go visit them. pick up a group of boys and take them out for ice cream, or a group of ladies, or do something. There's a way that each and every one of us can do something good to edify and to encourage the other church members, to make a phone call, not to gossip, but to encourage somebody. We can all do our part. Each and every one of you makes up a member of the body of Christ. And if you're here and you're part of this church body and you're not doing the part that God has called you to, try to pick something up without a thumb. Try to sever off a hand sometime. And you're hindering the body of Christ from working the way it should. Don't allow the things to come into your life to keep you from doing the things that God has called you to do. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We need to be walking. We need to be doing those good things that God has already showed us to do. Thirdly, look at Psalms chapter 37, verse 4. The Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Once again, we're just back to that focusing in on the things of God. Delight thyself in the Lord would be point number three. Delight is a high degree of pleasure or satisfaction of the mind, joy. Delight is more permanent pleasure than joy, permanent pleasure than happiness, and not dependent on sudden excitement. It's not, you know, we see it all the time, the flash in the pan Christians. They need something, you know, to whoosh, to set them on fire. But you need to be at a place where you have to understand that something's cooked more consistently and it turns out better if it's cooked at a consistent degree and it doesn't change. I mean, I think about it. At the boys' camp, we cook everything on smokers. And we eat like men eat. We eat lots of meat at the outdoorsman camp, like pulled pork and smoked hamburgers. And this year we actually did a fish fry. We did over 500 crappie fillets. We did smoked chicken and then country ribs on the last night. But even the eggs and bacon go on the smokers till they get served. Pancakes go on the smoker. And you just think about that. You know, you take that pork roast and you stick it on that smoker, and it cooks for 10 hours. And it cooks more, it makes it better. And we need to get to this place as we live our Christian lives that we're consistent, that our joy is not in the temporal things that are taking place in our life. Listen, if your joy is in your house could be burned up today. If your joy is in that vehicle, I'm going to pray for you, because that vehicle is could be gone tomorrow. Your health can be gone tomorrow. But when my dad passed away in 2017, my dad came down with pancreatic cancer, and he battled it for 38 months. And only one time in 38 months did my dad ever complain about a situation. But he led 117 people to Christ in that 38-month bout. Brother Young, he said, I can't go out and knock doors anymore, but God brings them to me. Here's these nurses and doctors. They can't get away from them. They have to take care of them. And I was with them in Pittsburgh as he was over there for cancer treatments. And the nurse come in to do something. He witnessed to her. If you die today, you know for sure you go to heaven. I mean, here's a guy dying of cancer, and he was more concerned about other people's souls. My dad wasn't perfect by any means. But during that bout with cancer, when his focus could have been on himself, he was still concerned about the souls of other people. He was still doing good. His joy was in what God had done and saved him. My dad got saved at 50 years old. What is your delight in? Is it in God? Or is it in the things of this world? What brings you joy?
The things that we have to continue to do is we need to continue to push forward. We need to find our joy in the things of God, in serving God. And when we worry about the things of God, God will give us the desires of our heart. When you just keep plowing and planting and keep going forward, you just need to keep doing the things that God wants you to do. In Psalms chapter 1, it says, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Did you get that? If your delight's in the things of God, you're going to be like that tree planted by the waters, that even during the drought seasons, you're still going to produce fruit. We need to get to this place where we draw close to God, that we live in such a way. You know, there's nothing wrong with reading books. There's nothing wrong with reading books by good people. Brother Young, where I grew up and where I was, I was about 35 minutes from where evangelist Dennis Corll lived. And after I got saved, I got excited about serving God and doing things. Brother Chris Dallas told me, he said, "Brother Rex, if you want to know what God's will is, you want to confirm things, you got to make sure you're doing God's will. Get involved in whatever you can." And I had already been doing that. I mean, I was a general contractor for years, and I went to my pastor and I said, "What can I do? Whatever you can use me for, painting, building a wall." And I ended up working on school and just got involved in things and got involved. But with Brother Corll, he was 35 minutes away from me. And what a joy that was to have him right there. But I carried for a while I traveled Brother Corll's book table. If you've ever seen his book table, it's quite impressive. I think he's into 50 books now that he carries, written some great books. What I love about his books is everything has scripture. It's like reading your pastor's books. Everything that they're giving you has scripture to back that up. They're great books. And I love reading books, good books by good preachers that have written good books. But we ought to live in our Bibles. There's nothing wrong with reading a good book, but when we delight in God's Word, we will live in our Bibles. Our Bibles will be where we find that encouragement. Our Bibles will be where we learn to trust God. Our Bibles is where we have that relationship and that walk and that talk with God, and we allow those things. In Psalms 40, verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. In verse 11, it says, "Withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me." In Psalms 94, verse 19, "In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul." God should be the delight of our soul. And number four, and lastly, commit thy way unto the Lord. Psalms 37, verse 5, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Our commitment in our Christian lives ought to be sold out totally to the Lord. I promise you this, I've been around just long enough to see that Christians that don't sell out to God normally don't last. They don't last. Something comes in or someone comes into their life to get them off course. Being committed to God means at some point in time in your life, you say, "God, here I am. Take my life and use me." Right. It might just be a layman in the church that your job is to drive a bus or to teach a Sunday school class or to clean the toilets. It might be that. I don't know what God's purpose for your life is. But God brought you here for a purpose. And when you realize that, you say, "God, no matter what comes in my life, I'm staying committed to you." We need to get to this place where we commit ourselves. In Psalm 55, verse 22, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. As we commit ourselves to God, God will establish our thoughts that we won't worry, we won't fret, we won't get concerned about those things. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. In verse 10, he says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. In Psalms chapter 62, verse 1, the Bible says, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might be through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but through our outward man, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not on the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. If we realize that God has a greater purpose for our life, and we trust in him that the outcome of that situation is still in his control, and he still knows where we're at, what we're going through, and where we're at. If you think about it all through, think about when those men were on the boat and those tempest winds come. Christ knew right where they were. Think about when Jonah went into that belly of that great fish that God had prepared, because he ran from the will of God. God knew right where he was. God still heard Jonah's prayer. As we read through with Paul, and he knew right where he was. John the Baptist, God knew right where he was. When they were going through all those trials in their life, God knew right where they were. These were men that committed and stayed on the course. And guess what? God brought them through those things. God will bring you through whatever you're going through today if you just trust in him. Just continue to do the things that are right, that you know that are right. Just continue to move forward and to press on for the things of God, and just to do those things, and make sure that your joy on a daily basis isn't determined by the outcome of success that you have throughout the day, but your joy is found in the things of God, that your joy is found through your salvation. No matter what goes on in your day, you're still a blood-bought child of God. There's a lot of people that have it a lot worse off than you do. Find your joy in God's word. Encourage yourself. The Bible says that when they spake of stoning David, David encouraged himself in the Lord. We can have that joy, and we can have that perfect peace that God will give us when our delight's in the things of God. But most of all, you know what? Commit yourself to God. Brother Young, one of the things with me is I don't want to be a flash in the pan Christian. I want to finish stronger than I ever started. I want to finish well for God. And when you stay committed to the things of God, God will give you the desires of your heart.